There we go.
Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. And now it's time for Path Changers Habits of Health, a show all about lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Path Changers Habits of Health, Sandy Seibert.
Hello, hello. Well, it's me, Sandy, your health and lifestyle coach, and welcome to our show. If you've been here before, then we thank you for being a frequent listener. And if you're new here, just know that you're amongst friends and that this is a great place to hear inspiring stories, fresh ideas, and empowering conversations that will motivate you to change or continue on your own health journey with confidence. Well, this is a really fun show tonight. It's definitely going to be inspiring because one of the things that's really neat about tonight is that if I hadn't changed my path of health and where I was headed to where I am now, I know probably not in a million years would I have ever met my guest tonight. So both of us made this crazy commitment to take the Alabama Trailblaze Challenge that benefits Make-A-Wish Alabama. And this is a 26.3 mile hike in one day. And one of the very first days that we were on a training hike, I met Daryl Burton. And we got to talking, and his story just blew me away. So, Daryl, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I'm really glad to be here. This is bucket list stuff for me, so I'm really excited. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you. I'm really the pleasure is all ours because you definitely have a story that is most inspirational, and I know that.
Thanks.
Just by walking on the hike and starting to hear a little bit about it, I knew that I wanted to have you on the show because you've been able to really change the direction of your health and where you were going. So do you mind just starting out and tell us about who was the Daryl of yesterday?
Okay. I'll start at the beginning. I smoked for 30 years. Lived the unhealthy lifestyle, did all the things that, you know, you're not supposed to do, all of the bad things. And then on June 12th, 2012, I was at work. It was a Wednesday. We were getting ready to leave work. One of the guys that I work with, he says, "Man, you don't look good." And I said, I don't feel good, you know. And I went home. I was tired. And later, I guess they told me I was ashen looking, you know. Mm-hmm. And got home and we're watching television, my wife and I, and at the end of our den is a fireplace. And so we're sitting there, and about 9 o'clock, a bat of all things comes flying out of the fireplace. And, you know, she freaks out, and the only thing I know to do is go get a net and come out and catch the bat, take him out and let him go. And so I'm going to look at how this bat gets in the house and light a cigarette, and I'm looking around trying to figure it out, and get it all, you know, see how he gets in. But my chest was hurting, you know, and I told my wife, I'm like, "Man, you know, something doesn't feel right." And, you know, we're dressed for going to bed and everything, and, you know, so we kind of sit there for a minute. And she's like, "Well, what's it going to be? You know, we need to go to the hospital or what?" So I said, yeah, we probably need to go. So we got dressed and head out, and, you know, I've got the car keys in my hand. She's like, "Don't you think I should drive?" And I said, "Yeah, probably so." And we get to the hospital. We leave the house. By the time we get to the hospital, I'm full on cardiac arrest, you know, and they take us straight in, and, you know, I tell the doctor, I said, I feel nauseated. And as soon as I said it, it happened. And, when I came to, you know, they were all around me, and he said, "You're having a heart attack right now. We've got to get you to St. Vincent. We've got to get you to the cath lab now." And they loaded me in an ambulance, gave me some morphine and a nitro patch, and they sent me on my way. you know, and we were on our way up to St. Vincent's, and we got there and, you know, got into the cath lab, and I'll never forget the amount of pain that I had. It hurt worse than anything that I'd ever felt. But I thought, you know, I'm in the right place. They're going to take care of me. And in my mind, I was just going to go to sleep, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I laid there and just closed my eyes. And I could hear the nurse talking to the doctor, and said, his pulse is dropping. It's still dropping. And he's telling her, hit him with atropine, hit him again, hit him again. And then he used a word I can't say. But, you know, in my mind, I was just going to sleep.
Yeah.
And I actually, my heart quit at that point, and they did some chest compressions, brought me back. You know, I was only out just, you know, a short matter of time, but they brought me back, and, you know, I spent 3 days in intensive care, you know, and got home from the hospital, and I'm out of work, of course, and, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I can't even walk from the couch to the refrigerator and without stopping, and I'm like, you know, is this, I'm 48 years old, is this my life that I've got to look forward to now, you know, and I'm looking around at my peers, and I'm seeing them do things and, you know, live life, and I'm like, this can't happen to me. You yeah. know, I this can't be. And, you know, I talked to my cardiologist, you know, about, you know, look, I'm having some trouble with, you know, anxiety and, you know, depression, and, you know, I need some help. And, you know, he's like, well, I'm not prescribing you anything. You're going to have to learn to deal with your stress, you know. And I look back on that now, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, but at the time I was mad about it. And anyway, they sent me to cardiac rehab, and those nurses kind of helped me redefine where the edge is, you know, and kind of showed me that this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. You know, if you,
I mean, you mean like mentally and physically?
Mentally and physically,
where
yeah.
You saw yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, when I entered the cardiac rehab, I could walk like 1,000 feet. And that was that, you know, and I stayed in there, you know, 3 months. And at the end of that 3 months, I was walking over a mile, you know, and, you know, had moved where I perceived the edge to be, you know, and wasn't really afraid of all of those little pains that, you know, you'd feel in your chest. And before, you know, I'd think, oh, that's another, it's about to happen again. But that, you know, that was not the case, you know. And just, you know, ever since that point, just, you know, living life and learning to appreciate it and to not try to experience something. You know, we were talking outside, and I was telling you about, you know, my cousin. 2 months after the heart attack, we were parasailing.
Yeah.
You know, not long after that, you know, my daughter had me out. You know, my daughter was the one that was kind of responsible for getting me hiking. You know, come on, Dad, let's go on a hike. And so she kind of helped get me up moving around. You know, and I credit her a lot with helping me. You know, but all of those events, you know, have kind of led me to here,
yeah,
you know, and helped me move where the edge is. You know, we moved it, you know, we jumped out of an airplane, you know.
Woo.
So it's, you know, we moved it there. You know, we tried running a marathon here, you know, not too long back. We did a marathon relay, you know, so I did 8 miles, you know, all of those things to me. I didn't care about finishing last. I'm doing it.
Just excited to be there.
Yeah.
Participating.
You know, so all of those things, you know, I'm appreciating, I'm going back and revisiting all those experiences that I never did when I was younger, you know, and appreciating them more, you know. And that's kind of the thing that led me into the Make-A-Wish, you know, Trailblaze Challenge was, well, this is the next big challenge.
So I thought I might jump in and ask a couple of questions that some people might be thinking as they're, you know, driving down Highway 31 avoiding the wind right now. What's the difference between what you felt moving up towards having a heart attack and, like, normal heartburn that I guess a lot of people experience after eating a meal or something like that?
Well, the thing I felt that night, you know, when that bat came down the chimney and we jumped up, we're moving around trying to figure it all out, you know, there was a pressure on my chest that was different than anything I had ever felt. I knew.
I've heard it described as like an elephant jumping on your chest.
I'd say that's an accurate description. There was a definite, you know, circular spot on the left side of my chest that felt like, you know, there was a weight sitting on my chest, you know. And it definitely, you know, felt different than anything I ever felt. It was enough that it had my attention.
Yeah.
You know. And by the time we got to the hospital, every heartbeat that I had I don't even have words to describe the pain, you know, that I had, you know, in that moment.
Very reminiscent of the story Jason told you on the first show.
Yeah. One of the things that you had shared with me too on our first hike together was the ER nurse, the nurse that you had gotten up to go get something.
Coffee.
Yes. Yes. So tell us that story, and then we'll go to break after this.
Okay. I was in intensive care, and, you know, you each person in ICU there has their own nurse, you know, watching them. And the one I had, you know, taking care of me, you know, I'd ask her for you know, hey, can I have coffee now? And she's like, sure. So she goes about her business, you know, and I'm kind of laying there expecting her to bring me a cup of coffee. You know, well, she kind of keeps doing her thing. She comes back around, and I'm like, you know, so what about that coffee, you know? And she's like, well, it's down at the coffee pot at the end of the hall down there. And I'm like, well, so I can just go get it? And she's, sure. So I get my, you know, my little thing that had the IV bag hung on it, and I head down to the coffee pot and get me a cup of coffee, you know, because I'd been 2 days without it. But anyway, I start coming back from the coffee pot, and I was looking in the other rooms as I went by, you know, and that's when it started to dawn on me, you know, this is not a good place. This is not a happy place. And when I got back around to where I could see my nurse, she was looking at me, and she was smiling, and, you know, kind of had a tear on her. And you know, I said, I'm not in a good place, am I? And she goes, no, you're not. She said, but you're going to walk out of here. And a lot of these people don't. And turns out, she told me that, she said 7% of the people who experience what I went through survived to talk about it.
Wow. I'm so glad you did.
Pretty low odds, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You thought you were going to break, but you're not, because I've come up with more questions.
Jay's got questions, in case.
Because it's not really your show. It's my show, right? Okay, so let's see. I took some notes because I have a real bad habit of forgetting what I'm going to say right before I said it, so I typed it out so I wouldn't forget it. Had you been to a regular doctor before? Like, did he do regular checks? And was there any indication that you might need to have, you know, corrective surgery done or anything like that? And part of the reason that I ask, I lost my grandfather to a heart attack when I was 3 years old. I didn't even hardly know the guy. But I am told that he had been told that he needed to have, you know, a bypass or some type of surgery. And he put it off until the weather got cold because golf was more important. If you know my family, you'll understand this. Golf is more important than having that surgery done. And he passed away in his sleep before he could have the surgery done. So.
Wow. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, I had high cholesterol. I had all of the warning signs. But, you know, just like your grandfather, I didn't go to the doctor unless I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had the flu, I would go to the doctor, you know. So I wouldn't go, you know. So, but I did have all the warning signs. And after the heart, you know, the first time I saw the cardiologist after the heart attack, you know, that night, he came in and told me, you know, that I was 100% blocked in my right coronary artery from plaque due to smoking. That was his exact words.
Laid it on you, huh?
Laid it on me. And, you know, there are lifestyle changes that they recommend. You know, of course, quitting smoking is one of them. And this got my attention, and I have not smoked another cigarette since June 12th of 2012.
Wow.
So coming up on 5 years now. But, you know, it scared me. You know, the other, you know, your activity level, you know, healthy lifestyle, you know, healthy eating habits, which I fail on that miserably, you know, not smoking. You know, there are a lot of factors that contribute that, and yeah, I didn't pay any attention to any of those.
Let me kind of direct this question at Sandy. So those of us, unfortunately, I'm not one of them. This may change someday, but you know, who are supposed to have regular medical checkups. I know that my mom, she's an employee of the city of Coleman, and she just had to have a regular checkup in order to maintain her health insurance. Do they screen for this kind of thing, or is this something that would be above and beyond what a normal medical checkup would look for? Like he mentioned that he was 100% blocked. Would a normal medical checkup detect that?
I think that a lot of times it will send up red flags. It may not be able to detect exactly that there's 100% blockage or something like that. I mean, because I can tell you just from my experience with my mom, she had had a stress test. And nothing came back.
Right.
Like, it showed everything to be very normal.
Right.
And she had about 90% blockage in...
And I might mention that in women, blockages are harder to detect mm-hmm. because of the tissue that, you know, they have to go through to see everything, you know. But to get back...
Statistically, that I hear men have heart attacks more often than women. Would you know anything on that, Sandy? Is that right? Yeah.
I don't know anything on that.
Mm-mm. But the warning sign, the indicators, you know, your blood pressure mm-hmm. and cholesterol level, I'm going to say are two probably of the most important indicators that, you know, people need to pay attention to. You know, the plaque level in my blood is, you know, was caused by the smoking, but, you know, cholesterol, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of the leading indicators along with blood pressure.
And my last question, this is along my lines of work and my lines of interest. You know, technology, they have these wearables now that you can wear, and I know for diabetics that they have patches that you can wear that continuously monitor your blood sugar and things like that. Are we very close, or do we have the technology today where we can actually monitor some of these vital things on a real-time basis? And, you know, before you have that moment where you're having a heart attack, you know, does it, you know, like your refrigerator can, you know, send a message to the grocery store to bring you eggs, can your cell phone send a message to your doctor to say, hey, do something about this guy?
I can tell you that within the past week, somebody, a fellow health coach of mine, just shared a device, more of a wristband, but I haven't looked at it so much, but to answer your question, Jay, I really think that they are right on the edge of technology of being able to have things that can monitor us to a much deeper level than we are now. This thing had all kinds of capacity to, I want to even say there was like an EKG monitor on this thing. It was pretty intense, so.
I know for a fact for the technology side, like getting the data from your cell phone onto the internet or onto your doctor or whatever, all of that, I mean, we could do that today.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, the only part holding us back possibly might be the interface of getting the data. I mean, like reading the blood sugar level or whatever, you know, somebody developed a patch that can do that. I know traditionally you had to actually take blood samples and run those. I don't know, but I feel like we should definitely be more proactive about this stuff instead of reactive. I imagine
yeah.
we would save lots of lives, especially if, as he said, only 7% survived what he went through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and really the thing, too, is, I mean, the first line of defense is us taking care of our bodies, and because our lifestyle really can be our medicine. It's really... it's that important, but
it is
just how we're set up in this world. This world's just designed to keep us in, you know, more obese and unhealthy. So we really have to make a decision to take charge of our own health, and we can't rely on just going with the flow. That's
right.
For sure.
Right.
Since I stole most of your commercial break, we'll do a real quick promo for the Kiwanis Pancake Day coming up, and then we'll come
Yay!
Back to you. So.
Save that for some other time. No,
we'll,
just kidding.
We'll plug that, but we'll come
okay.
right back in about a minute. So.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks.
If you're like me, your most favorite meal of the day is probably breakfast. And coming up on April the 8th, you have your chance for an all-you-can-eat breakfast and help out a great cause. The Coleman Kiwanis Pancake Day is coming up Saturday, April the 8th at the Coleman High School lunchroom. Get your tickets from any Coleman Kiwanian or at the door. They're only a $7 donation, and it's all-you-can-eat pancakes with all the trimmings. You remember coming to Pancake Day as a kid. So now, round up your kids and come to the Coleman High School lunchroom Saturday, April the 8th for the Coleman Kiwanis Club Pancake Day. For more information, visit the Coleman Kiwanis Club Facebook page. The Coleman Kiwanis Pancake Day, Saturday, April the 8th at the Coleman High School lunchroom. Coleman Kiwanis, helping the children of the world and Coleman County.
Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. And now it's time for Path Changers Habits of Health, a show all about lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Path Changers Habits of Health, Sandy Seibert.
Hey, thank you for coming back with us. I'm sitting here talking to Daryl Burton, and Jay's been asking some questions, too, so it's been really good.
Next question. Will pancakes kill me? Okay, never mind.
One of the things that I know that the listeners can't see, but we do, we are going live on Facebook, but one of the things that I really did want you to share, too, is your symbolic effort that you made to remind yourself of what's gone on.
So Facebook, I got a tattoo.
Yep.
And what it is it's a...
It's on the inside of his forearm.
On the inside of my arm. It's an unhealthy heartbeat and a flat line, and then a healthy heartbeat. And in the middle is June 12th, 2012, in Roman numerals, and a semicolon. So, you know, the unhealthy lifestyle, you know, I checked out for a little bit, and they brought me back. And the semicolon is, you know, like a sentence could have ended and didn't. So is with my life, you know. It could have ended, and it didn't, and I'm still here. And I wanted this in a place that was going to be seen, that people could talk about it. And I went to the shop that did it, and I told the guy, here are the components that I want. Here's what it means to me. And he said, I got it. I'll call you when I'm ready. And this is the result. And I'm proud of it. And on every one of our hikes, every one of them, it has brought the question out and allowed me to share my story. And for that, I'm very happy.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can get one person to change their health, then it's worth it.
Yes, absolutely. It's so good. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we were talking about too, Daryl, that this whole thing just started. Basically, you and I had the same quest getting going. It's like, it's time to up our game and our own health, our own physical health, and this is a way to do it. And let's talk a little bit about what's transpired from then.
From
making the decision to do the hike for ourselves.
Okay. So, you know, I mentioned that, you know, we're kind of adventure seekers, and so every opportunity that we got to go do the next big thing, you know, we would do it. Well, when I got word of the Make-A-Wish hike, I said, that's the next big physical challenge for me. I'm going to do that. You know, so I went to one of the meetings and signed up to do it. And, you know, they brought one of the kids that was waiting on a wish out. And I saw this and, you know, I said, how can someone see this and not want to help?
Yeah.
And I quickly learned this isn't about me.
Yeah.
And it's not about us. You know, and it is about helping others. And the $2,500 fundraiser goal, it scared me to death.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And so I was highly motivated to get out and talk to everybody and tell them, you know, hey, man, I'm doing this thing. It's going to be hard, but that pales in comparison to the struggles these kids do every day. Help me do this. And the next thing you know, I'd raised $3,800.
Wow.
You know, so now I've changed my goal, and I want to get to 7,000, which would do one kid, one wish. You know, and I think that would be awesome, you know. But it's so much bigger than us, you know. And every time that I've gone on one of these group hikes, I go and I try to tell people, you know, and try to be a positive and, hey, this is how I made my fundraising goal. This is what I did. These are the things I did. And I try to
encourage them. Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
else. But I have left every one of those hikes feeling like I left with more than I took.
Yeah.
You know, just I leave so up. Because it's just been such a great group of people to be involved with, that you know I'm excited. You know, we're on our way to the Sipsy for a practice hike this weekend. You know, I'm stoked about that. You know, I'm stoked about being here this weekend. I'm giddy.
Well, it's so good. And listen, I really appreciate you joining me. And you're gonna have to come back. You're definitely going to have to come back.
We'll do it. There's more to talk about.
Yeah, we have a lot more to talk about. I just want to let everybody know, if you are in town this weekend, Saturday, Colors of Cancer Day at Sportsman's Lake, I'm going to be hanging out there sharing health and hope. So stop by and see me if you get a chance. And just to say, the first step in getting healthier is making the decision. And if you're ready to make that decision and you're looking for a clear-cut path to get there, reach out to me at pathchangers.com. It's pathchangers.com. Have a great week, and thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Big D. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
This is Big D.